Tikkun that is going to take place this coming month. So Tu B'Shvat is a day that is very shrouded in mystery. We all have different concepts of what Tu B'Shvat is. We all have different views about what we associate with Tu B'Shvat. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through history. And we're going to see what the real origins of Tu B'Shvat are. And we're going to see that it's really a very, it's all over the place. We might all have a bit of it in it. We're going to talk about fruit. We're going to talk about liquor. We're going to talk about Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk about all the different things that were involved in the Jewish history in Tu B'Shvat. So maybe we'll mention Shabbat. Maybe. We're going to show why it's not true, but maybe. So what do people mostly here associate with Tu B'Shvat? Okay, eating fruit and fruit. Huh? The Seder. Joel associates with the Seder and Shabbat Tzvi. Huh? Notachna. Okay. Very good. So the makor for the idea of Tu B'Shvat is found in the same place as the makor for Rosh Hashanah that we celebrate on the first of Tishrei, the big day of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah, first Mishnah of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Arba Rosh Hashanahim. Arba Rosh Hashanahim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs during the year. Be'echad B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim L'Regalim. On the first of Nisan, we mark Rosh Hashanah for the kings, meaning that's the first day they would mark as their new year for Jewish kings. Be'echad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. On the first day of Elul is Rosh Hashanah for Maiser Behema. It used to be in the times when you lived in Eretz Yisrael, so you had to not just take Maiser from your fruit, you had to take Maiser, you had to tithe also from your animals, right? So that was when they started the counting for the Maiser Behema, on the first of Elul. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon omrim be'echad b'tishrei. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon have a different sheet than Maiser Behema is also on Tishrei. Be'echad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanim u'lishmitin u'liyovlos l'netia v'liyarakos. And the first of Tishrei, which is our Rosh Hashanah, so that's the beginning of the year, the actual beginning of the year, and it's also the beginning of when we start counting all the cycles of Shemitah, everything, that's the first main beginning of the year. And the Gemara lists a fourth one, the Mishnah lists a fourth one, be'echad b'shvat, on the first of Shvat, Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. It is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilan. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That's Beis Shammai Shita. That the Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot is on the first of Shvat. Yesterday. Beis Hillel omrim b'chamisha sarbo. Beis Hillel says, no, it's on Tu B'Shvat. It's on the 15th of Shvat. So we always pass on like Beis Hillel, so that's why we know it is Tu B'Shvat and not Aleph B'Shvat. So Beis Hillel says the first day, the Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot is Tu B'Shvat. So what does that mean, Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot? What does that mean? When the Mishnah says, at the beginning, there's the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. So what does that mean? So that means it's a halachic statement. It's not a hashkafic statement. It's a halachic statement that we start counting all the things that have to do with mitzvahs atzilus baretz, like orla, like neter avai, all these different dinim that apply about how many years you have to keep your fruit in a certain area before you cut it. That starts on this day. We don't start counting it from the regular Rosh Hashanah. We start counting it from Tu B'Shvat. That's how it goes. And the Talmud Yerushalmi actually points out also that a scientific idea, the Talmud Yerushalmi says that the sustenance of the fruit begins now. That until now it's being still fed from the sustenance that was before the year, and now it's a new sustenance beginning. That's what the Talmud in Eretz Yisrael. That's how the season is. So that's why we begin counting on Tu B'Shvat. So there's no mention in the Mishnah of anything that has to do with anything with regards to celebration. There's nothing about celebrating with fruit. There's nothing about making parties. Nothing about a Seder. Nothing. Only says a halachic idea that on Tu B'Shvat, it's the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. That's it. So does anyone here celebrate the Echad B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim? No. Does anyone here celebrate the Echad B'El, Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser B'Hema? What? So the point is, the very strange thing is, the only Rosh Hashanah here that we really celebrate is Rosh Hashanah. So Mehechet Heise, where did it come from that we celebrate Tu B'Shvat? The Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot? It's the same as all four. So why would we, right? So it's very strange. So we're going to investigate, we're going to go through history, we're going to see where this came up. So the first, we're going to modify everything I'm saying at the end of this year, but the first idea that's brought down with regards to Tu B'Shvat, the first difference between Tu B'Shvat and every other day of the year is with regards to Tainus. With regards to Tainus, so there was a question asked to Rabbeinu Gershom. So who's Rabbeinu Gershom? Right? Rabbeinu Gershom was one of the Gonim. Right? He was the famous one. What's he famous for, Rabbeinu Gershom? Famous Rabbeinu Gershom, right? No polygamy. So Rabbeinu Gershom writes, Rabbeinu Gershom has a question from someone. What if we are in the period of Bahab? What if we're in the period of Bahab? Are you allowed? Bahab is a time when people fast. It's Monday, Thursdays after Regalim. Let's say, well, actually not Bahab. No, it wouldn't be Bahab because it's too much. No, okay, it's every Monday, Thursday. Yeah. Every Monday, Thursday, people used to fast. So let's say one of them came out on Tu B'Shvat. Are you allowed to fast? So if I was asked the question, you're allowed to fast on Tu B'Shvat, why not? I can... I'm sorry? I can fast on the first of Elul. Who cares that it's Rosh Hashanah Lila Nor? What does that matter?
Are you allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh?
Huh?
You allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh?
Seemingly you could fast, yeah. If you want to have a tiny schalom, whatever, why not? Right? Some say many Rishonim hold you're allowed to even fast on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Not even on the first of the year. So why wouldn't I be able to fast? So the Rabbeinu Gershom was asked this question. V'sha'altem, tzibur shabikshu ligzor tainis sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, upagu bo b'tainis rishon to l'shvat, im yesh lachash Rosh Hashanah v'lidichos atainis olo. Are we allowed to fast or we push off the fast? So says Rabbeinu Gershom. Right? This is now in the 10th century. Kach da'ati note. My opinion is as follows. Sha'atainis nirchel ha'shabes haba. You have to push off the fast till the next week. The ain kovim tainios bo. And you are not allowed to fast in Tu B'Shvat. The lo matzinu tainis b'Rosh Hashanah klal. Because you can't fast on the other Rosh Hashanah. The tnan arba Rosh Hashanah heim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. The kevin diktani lu b'hadeh hadadi. Dimyo d'hadeh hadadi ninu. And since the Mishnah lists all four Rosh Hashanahs in one place, Hachinami, they're all similar. Hachinami, Kevon de Shara, Lace Behutanis, Revi, sorry, Shayes Behutanis, since the all four don't have a Tainis, Revi Nami, the fourth one, the other one, since the other ones don't have Tainis, the fourth one, Tu B'Shvat, Nami Lace Le Tainis, Ba'afagav de Inhu Nami Adifemine, even though the other ones really are better. Rosh Hashanah of the year is a much bigger day than Rosh Hashanah Lilanot, Kevon de Ktani Lubahadi Adade, Laham Milse Idmin Ladade, since they're all listed together, we compare them and it's an equation between all of them. And since, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, many of these would agree, you're not allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah. And the other Rosh Hashanah, you can't fast also on Rosh Hashanah Lilanot. So this is the first mention that Tu B'Shvat has something different about it. Before this, nothing seemingly. It's the first one just about no fasting. And Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way. Tzibur shebikshu ligzor tainis sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. A community that wants to have fast Mondays, Thursdays. Upagu betanis Tu B'Shvat. Hatanis nircha l'shabbat haba k'di shelo yigzru tanis b'Tu B'Shvat shu Rosh Hashanah Lilanot. That the Shulchan Aruch Paskins from this tshuva, the Rabbeinu Gershom, that you are not allowed to fast on Tu B'Shvat. So only about no fasting. No mention about eating fruit, no mention about celebration, no mention about nothing. Only that. And there's another thing listed in Shulchan Aruch, another point quoted. And that's from the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril was one of the great codifiers of Minhagim in Ashkenaz. He was in the 14th century. So he codified all the very important Minhagim that we keep today. So the Ma'aril writes, Shvat Chamisha Sarbohu Rosh Hashanah Lilanot. On the 15th of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanot. It's an interesting point he makes. That Tu B'Shvat only falls out and only will fall out in any day except for Sundays and Fridays. Ubechamisha sarbo ein omrim tchina. You are not allowed to say tachnun. But Megensa, beworms omer tchina. But in Megensa and in Worms, two of the big communities in Ashkenaz, they did say tachnun. But the Ma'aril brings out in his community, they did not say tachnun. So there were communities in Ashkenaz in the early time that didn't say Tachanun also, again, suddenly.
What is the connection of Tachanun to this? Why
shouldn't you say Tachanun?
Let me turn the question back in.
Oh, so seemingly already it's getting some kind of a thing of Yontif. Now it's important to note, it could be like the Rabbeinu Gershom said, meaning all the other days, Rosh Hashanah, first day of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Elul, we do not say Tachron. Tu B'Shvat is not on Rosh Chodesh, so seemingly that should be the only one we say Tachron. But it could be, since the other ones, like Rabbeinu Gershom said, you don't have Tachron, maybe the year also you shouldn't put Tachron. But there, again, so in Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like this. Nagu shalipal apanayim b'tuba v'lo b'tu B'Shvat. We do not say Tachron on Tu B'Shvat. So in the Rishonim, and in Shulchan Aruch, the only mentions of Tu B'Shvat Nothing about fruit. Nothing about fruit. Not one mention of fruit. Nothing about celebration. Or only you're not allowed to fast, and you're not allowed to say tafen. The only mentions. Shulchan Aruch never heard of eating bucks during Tu B'Shvat. Never heard. Never, no such thing. Never heard of a Seder. Never heard of a celebration. Never heard of planting a tree in Israel. Nothing. There was no mention of that. So the Shulchan Aruch only has no tainis and no tachron. So where does it come from, this idea of starting celebration? So one of the first makoros we have of celebration still has nothing to do with fruit. It's found in the Sefer Menhagim of Yuzepa Shamis of Worms. So the Worms had a Shamis, a very famous Shamis, and he was known as Yuzepa Shamis, Yuzepa the Shamis. So he wrote a Sefer that is used today by all the academics. The academics love the Sefer because you see like all the history of the way things were in Ashkenaz. And he writes like the most interesting things. We did this on this day, and we used to like whatever. We used to cut the bread this way. It's a whole Sefer. So it's used all over. They still publish. You can get it at the Wives Farm sale coming up in a month. So it's called the Sefer Menhagim Dekilas Kodesh Vermeiza. Right? So it's Worms. So Yuzepa Shamis records a very interesting thing that happened in Worms on Tu B'Shvat. And this is where we get the second the word in our title, liquor. Chamisha Asar Omrim Tchina Afilu B'Shachers. We say Tachron in Worms. That's what Maril already said, right? So here's Yuzepa Shamis recording that that's the truth, that in Worms they said Tachron. V'hu yoma demifkari bei Rabbanan hamalamdim u'befrat lemikri dardiki. It's a day off for the Rebbes and for the students from the yeshiva. It's a day of celebration and drinking for the Rabbanim and the Talmidim. V'nohagim lasis l'talmidim where's Allenberg? Yayin saraf v'lismoach imam. And we have the minhag here in Worms that on Tu B'Shvat we come together with the Talmidim, we give them schnapps, and we drink together. This is published, by the way, in the 17th century, in the 1600s, Yuzepa Shamis wrote the Sefer, the Minhagim of Worms. So, there was this Minhag, right? The first mention we have of there being some kind of a celebration. It was a Minhag in Worms where they made a celebration. They made a celebration of whatever they drank, schnapps together, whatever it is. So this is the first time we ever find any kind of a mention of celebration on Tu B'Shvat. And there's no mention of fruit, right? It's just about, it was a day off from Yeshiva. It was a day off from Yeshiva and they used to drink together. Fine. So where does this idea of what happened? What? Yeah. No, right. Right.
This is something that we decided to do, but there's no reasoning behind it at all.
Right. So, yeah.
You're saying over here, Talmud Rabbi says it is a yontif.
Why is it Yom
Tov?
Do you celebrate the first of El as Yom Tov? Do you celebrate the first of Nisan as Yom Tov?
But it's already written in Talmud.
No, but I'm saying that's not a makor of it being a thing because it also says that the first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah and the first of El is Rosh Hashanah. I don't know anyone that celebrates the first of Nisan or the first of El.
It's the first day of the month of Rosh Chodesh.
First day of Rosh Chodesh. No, but there's nothing meaning so is the first of Teves. But I'm saying like we don't celebrate.
Still a mention of it.
No, no Tu B'Shvat has a specialness because Rosh Hashanah Leilanot, but the idea of having some kind of a special day that day, that's a chiddush. Because we don't celebrate the other days.
You mean just think a cyclical factor?
Yeah, exactly. Tu B'Shvat is the day that we begin the new chanata. It's the beginning of the new sustenance of the fruit. So, just like the Rosh Hashanah Malachim. No, I'm saying there's no one walks around with crowns on their head on the first of Nisan and say it's the Rosh Hashanah of the kings, right? Meaning it's just, it's like whatever, it's not a...
We don't
say Tachanun because there's Chodesh, right? Because there's Chodesh. They probably did have a party, yeah. In the days of Melachim, yeah. Yeah, right, probably, right. Oh, very interesting. So hold that thought. So where does this idea of coming of the fruit come from? Where does the fruit come from? So the first mention of the fruit is by the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch. And he quotes it from a lesser known sefer called the Tikkun Yisachar. Tikkun Yisachar was one of the early Acharonim. He was in the 1500s. Rav Yisachar ben Shushan. He was one of the early Acharonim. You know what this is? Okay. So the Magen Avraham quotes as follows. Roshani Lelano, V'nohagim ha'ashkenazim laharbus b'mine peiro shalilanos. Period. So Magen Avraham records there is a minhag of Ashkenazim that they eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat. It's the first mention in history. First mention in our history of eating fruit on Tu B'Shvat. in the 16th century, right? And Rav Yaakov Emden also brings that down. Rav Yaakov Emden, the Siri Ayavitz. And he brings that as a minug in Eretz Yisrael, Dafka, which is very interesting for us. Eretz Yisrael, nohagim lahavi kam mine peiros ha'ilan, levarich aleyen biyom ze, shu rosh shan leshelahen, she is barchu, gadol le'ailan osayom. So we bring all the fruits together on Tu B'Shvat, and we make a bracha, and we eat them, and that's in order. There should be a bracha for all the trees that should grow in the coming year. So this is the first, these are the first Maror Makomos of eating peiros. It only began maybe like whatever, some 500 years ago, to eat these peiros. So what about, so that's where the whole idea of eating fruits come from. But let me ask a question. Joel brought up before about the Seder. So what's a Tu B'Shvat Seder?
They kept 4 cups of wine.
Yeah.
And it's almost a replication of the Pesach Seder.
Right. And they eat all the fruits. They have like a lot of different fruits, and they eat, and they make brachas, they eat hiratzons. It's a whole, yeah.
And they associate
with
the coming of
Lucia. Well, we're going to see. That's not Pasha. That's what the academics like to say, that because they like to associate with Shabbat too, but it's wrong. Well, I'm going to show you it's wrong.
You know the first time I heard of the Seder?
Yeah.
I pissed West End, and I said, Tu B'Shvat Seder. First time I ever heard of it. Never heard of it.
Yeah, it became, it's for somebody, the last like 10 years, it became so popular.
So we're going to see.
So there is a Sefer, and it is called the Chemdas Yamim. Now the Sefer Chemdas Yamim was the cause of perhaps more controversy in Jewish history than any other published book in the world. So the Sefer Chemdas Yamim is a big Sefer. It was just recently republished by Rav Moshe Tsuriel from Bnei Brak. You'll find it. It's like a 4-volume book, and it has all the different minhagim that, for like all the different holidays, and it's very Kabbalistic. It has a lot of influence of the Arizal's Kabbalah in it. A lot of interesting things. So the author's name is not there. The author's name is not in the Sefer. And it's quoted by a lot of the Achronim, this Sefer. The author's name is not there. So there, it was rumored in Europe that it was authored by Nathan of Gaza. So who was Nathan of Gaza? You're not allowed to answer. Who is Nathan of Gaza? Nathan HaAzati. So we have a tradition in Judaism that Mashiach will have a Navi. There'll be a Navi that'll like, come with Mashiach. So there was a man by the name of Shabtai Tzvi. So Shabtai Tzvi was a false Messiah who ended up converting to Islam. Right? And he claimed it was Mashiach, and many people, he had a lot of followers, like, from Jews. A lot of frum Jews who followed him, a lot of big rabbanim who followed him,
whole city.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. One of the reasons the Vilna Gaon fought so hard against the Baal Shem Tov and the Hasidim when they started is he viewed them as a new Shabtai Tzvi. So Shabtai Tzvi caused a lot of big problems. So Shabtai Tzvi's navi was Nathan of Gaza, and he like predicted things supposedly that were true, which is like a little scary. Whatever it is, so he used to go into like trances and have visions, whatever it is, and he's a famous person. So it was rumored that Chemdas Yom was written by him. So why? So Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman, anyone know who he is? Schneer Lyman? You know who he is, Schneer Lyman. So Schneer Lyman is a very big scholar of Jewish history and Torah, a very interesting man. So he points out the reason it started is in one of the early, he has early printings of all the Sisfarim. One of the earliest printings of Chemdas Yom has a painting of Nathan of Gaza on the front cover, in the inside page. One of the first. So they assumed that he was the author. So many papers have been written in the past few years that it's not true. The Chemdas Yamim was not authored by him. And there's a lot of reasons why we see, based on the years when it was published, when Nathan of Gaza, it couldn't have been him. It was most probably someone else. But because it was him, anything that's written in this Sefer is considered very... So one of the things I'll just point out to you, one of the things that comes from Chemdas Yamim is saying L'David Hashem Ori V'Ishi during Elul. But we say L'David Hashem Ori V'Ishi. So many, the Chosev Lublin, the Baal Shem Tov, many of the big Hasidic rebels refused to say L'David Hashem Ori V'Ishi, and the Vilna Gaon too, would not allow the recitation of L'David Hashem Ori V'Ishi because it was Chemdas Yamim. And they said it was Shabti and Minhag. So one of the Minhagim that came from this Sefer is the Seder of Tu B'Shvat, from the idea of eating fruit. So look, I put in from the Chemdas Yamim. V'minhag tov l'holchem b'tamim, l'harbos b'peros b'etzem hayom hazeh. It is a good minhag for those that are pious people to eat a lot of fruit during this day. Velomar divrei shiros v'sishbachos alein, and to say many different tefilos. Kasher nhagti l'kol ha'chaverim asher imadi, like I showed all of my colleagues in my Kabbalistic. They used to have little like clubs of like mekubalim. They used to come together, so I used to show all of them. V'imki divrei kisvei harav lo nimtzim minagzeh. Even though who's the Rav? The Arizal. Even though in Arizal, who's the master of the Kabbalah, we don't find the minhag of Tu B'Shvat of eating fruit or of say having this Seder. Mikol makom tikkun niflu b'niglu v'nistar. It is a tremendous tikkun in the revealed and in the hidden to have fruit on this day and to have a seder. So in the Chemda Hashem, he goes on to describe exactly what you do at the seder, what tefillahs you say, all the different stuff. This is a source of having the seder on Tu B'Shvat. This shows from the Chemdas Yomim, it became very widespread. And they actually took out the piece of Chemdas Yomim where this is published, and they published it in a new sefer called Pri Etz Hadar. So you're going to see that becomes important. Pri Etz Hadar is like a sefer with like all the stuff you're supposed to do with Tu B'Shvat Seder. It's just an excerpt of Chemdas Yomim. They took and put it in a different thing. So this minig I want to show you became very, very widespread. So there is a sefer called Evan HaSapir. I should say HaSapir. Evan HaSapir. So what's Evan HaSapir? It's written by a man, Rav Yaakov Sapir. So who's Rav Yaakov Sapir? He was born in Romania, and he moved to Tzfat when he was a little boy with his parents in the 1800s. And he became like a Talmud Chacham, like a shtickle academic, but like a academic or like living in Tzfat, meaning it's a little different. Yeah. So he was interested in like history. So he was put in charge of traveling around all the Jewish communities in the East, which hadn't been tapped yet, to collect tzedakah for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. They put him in charge because he like was a cultured person. So he traveled to Yemen, India, Australia, in the 1800s, Australia. So he wrote a very interesting sefer called Evan HaSapir about his travels. And he writes like a diary, so they could be hundreds and hundreds of pages, everything that happened in each town he went to. It was a wonderful book of history, very interesting to look at. So I looked in the Y Library, I think, for 2 hours to find the one that had his trips to India. So in his trips to India, he writes about, he was there on Tu B'Shvat, he was in Bombay. So he writes about what he saw in Bombay on Tu B'Shvat in the 1800s. So in Bombay, they had, amazingly, in Bombay, you don't think, they had a copy of the Pri Etz Hadar. They had a copy of the Sefer, from Chemdas Yomim, about the Seder. So he writes as follows. Tu B'Shvat b'Bombay, Eitzel HaSar HaGevir HaMahulal B'Chol, Reb David Sasson. You know who the Sassons were? The Sassons were like the big, rich family from India.
Right.
Yeah, they're also, yeah. So, so he was by Rav Sassons. Yeah. Named that, right, it makes sense. They say they were like multi-billionaires. Like they were supposed to be one of the... Bombay was like the big merchant town in those days. So he was by Sasson for Tu B'Shvat. Veliskos nishmasu barov brachos vodos ba'asher hu eden toch shenas. And I want to talk about what he did because he now has passed away, and I want to remember him. Harichu bayom ki Shabbos hayom v'lo yachlu lasos atikon v'laylik mitzvaso. They treat this day like Shabbos. Shulchan gadol lechavod yom hadin. See, he puts an exclamation point. Right? He knew how to do that already. It's like on Rosh Hashanah. They make a tremendous table, a set table like it's Rosh Hashanah. Mikol mini peros umugadim gam lechem rav v'yad Hashem atova al abayis hagadol hazeh. And they have tremendous amounts of bread in this beautiful house. V'nes v'sham rabim minichbadi ha'ir v'atzilea. And then all the rich people come, and all the big chashev people come. Gamaniim hagunim ve'erav, and even the poor people come. La sos haseder kitikuno, to do the seder of Tu B'Shvat according to the way it's supposed to be done. B'sefer hazeh pri etz hadar. Look in the next line, in the middle of the line. Ala shulchan hazeh hayu kechamishim minei peros. There were at least 50 types of fruit in the 1800s. 50 types of fruit on the table. Bein mi pri haaretz hazos, both Indian fruits. Ki rabim heim ubein mehuva mishar aratzos, and also from stuff that they had imported. Ki lo sechzar kolba, because nothing was missing. Ve'ein davar nedar meir hazos harucheles v'socheres l'chol aratzos akrovos varachokos, because in Bombay it was such a merchant town, they had everything they needed there. Gamin kesev nechshav, money was no. It doesn't matter if they would buy two apples or a whole thing of fresh grapes. Be'echa shilling. I don't know. I guess that's expensive. Sounds like 1 shilling. I think that's not so expensive, right? One. V'chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Listen to this line. V'chaviva mitzvah b'shaita yoser me'esrog belulav v'yom rishon. They treat. They said what I saw there. What they did with Tu B'Shvat. It's like more. It was holier than esrog and lulav on the first day of Sukkot. They were so excited by it. Umavarich bracha ruyala. They would then make the right bracha on each thing. Va'ochla b'kavana kematzus umorim b'lel shimurim. They would eat it with kavana like I in still matzah my own seder. V'kolam esubin yasu kemishvato. Va'ochla macharav mizayamin. And then they would all eat that specific fruit. Everyone after Sasson. So they grabbed and started eating. What does that say? I don't know what that says. Adarim al shulchan. Al kol perek pri chadash, val kol pri bracha atashlam. They would make on each thing, they would make a new fruit, they would say a new kind of tikkun, and they would make the bracha on it. Ba'achar kach, mvarachem al yayin, kedusha rabba. Then they would make like a kiddush on the kos yayin. Ve'not lim yadayim, ba'ochlam su'ud ha'shlema, ish asher kibirchasu b'kavan ritzu. And then they would wash, and they'd have like a real suda. It's unbelievable. So already in the 1800s, in Bombay, right? Is forget even in Germany and thing. In Bombay, they did this. Yeah.
This shows that it, not so much India. He was about 92. This is all of the Spartan Jews.
Yeah, in Hanam. Yeah. But I'm saying, so it spread there already. That's what I'm saying. Meaning, for sure it was over there, but it spread all the way there already. Meaning, yeah, it got all the way. So this thing of eating fruit became a very, very widespread idea. So what about the last thing before we just? I just show you the thing that undoes the whole shir. What is the last thing we? The last thing we're all familiar with is planting trees, right? And having like in about Israel. So where does that come from? Yeah. So in the 20th century, the JNF, the Keren Kayamet, needed a good marketing campaign. They needed to make money, right? For very good reason. Huh? So what they do? They said, Tu B'Shvat, it's a good day. It has to do with Israel and trees. Plant a tree. And they made loads of money that way. And they all gave it. And I think it started in 1908, I saw. That's when they started this whole thing, this campaign. And the Mizrahi got involved. And it became like a whole thing for Tu B'Shvat, right? About Eretz Yisrael. So Dafka for growing trees in Eretz Yisrael. And there's no makor of it anywhere else. No makor. Seemingly the only marmakomos or the earliest ones was no fasting, no tainus, and then later, some celebration, and then later, peros. And then later, the Seder Tu B'Shvat. So that's what everyone thought, and everyone pointed out until about 50 years ago. And then 50 years ago, there was a person, someone in Israel, who published a few pages from the Cairo Geniza. What was the Cairo Geniza? So in Cairo, they discovered this Geniza, and it had like these things that are, you know, undo all of Jewish history, all this interesting stuff, new whatever, Kisvei Yad from the Rambam, unbelievable things. So they found in the Cairo Geniza, in the 9th century, in the times of the Gaon who moved in Eretz Yisrael, the people that were really in control were not like Rabbanim, it was the Paitanim and the Chazanim. They were more than just the Chazan and the Avins. They kept all the Minhagim, they kept the Mesorah, they wrote all the Nusach HaTfilah, they knew year to year what to do because there were no published Siddurim or anything. They were in charge of everything. So they found from one of the big Paitanim, Rabbi Yehuda Alevi b'Rabbi Hillel, was one of the big Paitanim in the times of the Gaonim, they found a whole special Shmon Esrei for Tu B'Shvat. So I have it here. It's from the Oxford things of the Cairo Geniza. It was published in Israel like 50 years ago. So he has for each bracha, like a little piyut, and it says in each paragraph another fruit that grows in Israel. And they would have a whole Yom HaDin on this day that everything should grow well for the coming year, since it's the Yom HaDin of the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. So, and they have 18, it's 18 for the Shmoneh Esrei, right? 18, and they would insert into every single bracha. So they have Egos, Barosh, Geffen, Delev, Hadas, Vered, Zayis, Charuv, who said that? Boxer, Kerem, all the different types of fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael. So already they found that in the times of the Gaonim, right, over 1,200 years ago, they were celebrating Tu B'Shvat how? Like the JNF started doing this past century. Unbelievable. And no one knew. It was forgotten. Why? What happened to the Jews in Palestine from that time? They were shechted in the Crusades. Most of these Jews, when the Crusaders came, killed them all. So a lot of them in Hagim that used to be in the times of the Gaonim in Bavel is one thing. That people remember because there was a continuity. But the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael, so no one remembers them because they were all the things that they had were killed out. So this minhag of doing Tu B'Shvat was already all the way back then. Not more than time. It was about celebrating having a special day of Eretz Yisrael and of the fruit and whatever. And it was like a whole Yom. They had a special davening and a whole long Shnesrei. And it was all killed out because of the Crusades. Unbelievable, right? So that is really what the real Makor, if you really want to be honest. So the Ma'aril didn't know about it, and the Sefer Minhag of Giuseppe Shamas didn't know about it. No one knew about it. But now, because of the Cairo Geniza, we know that there was really so long. So I think what you have here is really what the real message of Tu B'Shvat is. So Tu B'Shvat is a time of renewal, right? It's a time when everything becomes renewed. It's a renewal of the trees and of nature, and it became like today in the, I think, in more liberal Judaism, they treat it as like a whole time of renewal. Whatever it is. So the point is that what you see, it's a renewal of our history, right? We were inspired over 100 years ago upon returning to Eretz Yisrael No one knew about what was in the Cairo Geniza then, you know, that was the real minhag. We were inspired somehow to start doing again what our ancestors did 1,000 years before. It's very interesting. It's very incredible that that was what happened. It's a time when you see the real idea of Tu B'Shvat is the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. It's the centrality of the growth of the land. So in those times when we started for the first time planting, right, that's when we were inspired again to do Tu B'Shvat the way it was supposed to be done. And we came up with it out of even knowing. And now we see that we were right the whole time. That was really what the whole Tu B'Shvat was about. It was about the land of Israel growing and about the fruit growing and having a good year. So I think you really see what the message of Tu B'Shvat is. It's about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. It's about the renewal of life of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. I think now especially, as I mentioned on Shabbos, in the next Knesset, no matter how the election results come out, there will be more Frum Jews in the Knesset than ever before. Every single party now has to put a Frum Jew on the party list in order to get votes. Tomi Lapid's son, Tomi Lapid was not exactly such a Frum guy, didn't exactly like Frum Jews. His son, who has this party, Yish Atid, his second guy is the Ram in Yeshiva Petach Tikva, Rav Shai Piron, his American parent, he's a Frum guy from America, and he's a Ram, he's a big Talmud Chacham. And he had to put him as a second seat so he could get votes, because he needs to have Frum Jews. And then he put Dov Lipman from Beit Shemesh, who's also a Frum guy from Ner Yisrael, went to learn the Ner Yisrael. Had to put him on it, and that's in a secular party. And the Frum parties, and now all the Frum parties, there's an incredible, this idea of the renewal of Eretz Yisrael, the renewal of life there, that's what Tu B'Shvat's about. That's what it really was about originally, and that's what it's about now. And I just make one last point, one very important point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through, in Chelek, goes through what is the sign of the Gula. The Gemara asks, do we need the tshuva first? Do we not need the tshuva first? The Gemara goes back and forth. Yes, tshuva, no tshuva, yes, tshuva. A whole amud. So then, if you notice, the Gemara comes out basically, and there's no resolution. We can't figure out. And it seems to be it's not tshuva. So the Gemara is bothered. What's the sign of the Gula then, if there's no tshuva? So it brings in famous maimer of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, when the land of Israel grows fruit, ein ketz megula mizo. There is no greater revelation of the end times, of the coming of the Mashiach, than when the land of Israel gives fruit. So for the first time in 2,000 years, basically, the land of Israel miraculously grew. It didn't grow at all. If you look at paintings, if you go to the Met, and they have paintings of artists that traveled to Palestine in the 1700s or 1800s, it's bare. They draw Yerushalayim, it's the walls, surrounded by sand. There's nothing anywhere. For the first time, it grew fruit. The bracha of Tu B'Shvat. So this is really what Tu B'Shvat's about. It's about the renewal of the real way. It's about the Gullus made us forget. Because the Crusades made us forget what the real thing, what really our Yiddishkeit is. And now we renew it. We find it ourselves. So Mirtz Hashem, we should have a wonderful Shvat. We should have an understanding Tu B'Shvat. We should celebrate with fruit and with growth and a lot of renewal.